a look at it. Okay, you need your username and password. Yes? Get into CIS Web?
Yes.
Yes.
Right now.
Okay, you need to find your username and password. It was sent to you at your Bristol CC account. Okay, and it says username and password for using CIS Web. Okay. I have copies of it if you absolutely can't find it, but I want you to try to find it just so you can find it. Yeah.
I have an issue with my email.
You got your slick enough?
Okay, yeah. You're going to have to come up and get it.
Okay.
I don't remember which section this is. Who are you? I don't remember your name either.
It's Marshall Silva.
What? Marshall? Okay, then it's not this one. There you are. Okay, so you're going to need something to write these down. You got something? That's your password. That's case sensitive.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, we're going to start to go in, and hopefully, okay, so we're going to go to WinSCP. So click on WinSCP, and I'm going to stay here for a minute, but I want to start it. Okay, what are we doing? I don't think I want to upgrade. Close that, and here we have it. Now, yours does not look exactly like mine. Apparently, for some reason, yours has new site and then CIS Web underneath it. Okay. My directions, I just found this out last night, actually. My directions go for, there being nothing there. But new site you can click on and follow my directions. Or if you click on CIS Web, it comes up with the host name. But it doesn't let you enter anything in those two places unless you click, there'll be an edit button down below. And you can click the edit button and then it will let you. Okay? I can't show you that because they didn't give me that. But if you click on new site, which is what I have, and then you put in the host, which is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. And then down here, you enter your username and password. And then you hit login, and you hope that it works. Okay? So the host is...
Login is grayed out.
Pardon me?
Login is grayed out.
Login, what do you mean? If you hit edit, you apparently can. There's also an edit underneath that apparently lets you log in. So basically, I want everybody to go and try entering in the username and password. If you click on new site, at least this is what we experimented with last night. If you click on new site, then you can put in cisweb.bristolcc.edu, your username and your password. If you click on CIS Web, then you have to, it automatically puts in the host. And you have to hit edit before you can put your username and password.
Did you have to get that password from the username?
Yes, you don't have that one either. Okay. That should have been sent to you under CIS web.
Okay.
CISweb.Bristol. Okay. Well, no, that's your Linux password. That's the same. That's the Linux password. I wasn't thinking that. I just didn't know the Linux password. So it is CISweb.BristolCC.edu.
And I don't know why it's decided I'm not going to write. For some reason.
CISweb.BristolCC.edu.
What if I go to log in?
Okay.
Do you have the password and username?
Yeah.
New site.
Go to the desktop. And then you use host name. CISweb.BristolCC.edu. You gotta use that.
Now you can put that's what it says. And then there it says log into new email. You should be sure to get set up.
Round. You are
Crafts. Morgan Crafts.
Okay.
That's capital C.
Okay, if you're having problems, put up your hand and either Carolyn or I will come around and help.
Just hold him access to that, that's it.
Access denied? Okay, that means something that I like about username and password. The rest of you are all in? Yay, that worked a lot better than I thought it was gonna. Okay, once you get to this screen, okay, what you have on this screen is this is your computer. And it's not letting me write at all for some reason, but I'll try to figure that out. That's your computer over there. This is the server. So I have my computer here and all of the drives I have connected to it. And over here is the server. Okay, so when I go into the server, I click on public HTML. Okay, and public HTML is where you're going to put your file. You're going to put it in public HTML. Now you notice I have a gazillion things out there. But public HTML has got all of the, I've got a bunch of folders there, and then I've got a bunch of files there. So I can drag and drop something there. So if I go over to the Thaw space, I have something that I put out there. Okay, first 2015, so we'll try that. So I can take this and I can drag it over to here. Okay, so I'm just dragging it over. And then I say okay, and it will make a copy for me. So I would now have first 2015.html. So I want you to take a page that you created sometime. Okay, the first day of class, you created a couple of pages. Drag one of them over. Drag something over so that it is up on the server. Okay, so you're going to drag something over so it's up on the server.
Like from your flash drive?
From your flash drive, you can connect your flash drive up here. Okay, it will let you choose your drive. So I can... Oh, I can just go in this way, actually. Okay. Thought space, there it is. I just didn't see it for some reason. So I can pick my flash drive if I want to, and then I've got the stuff on my flash drive, or I can pick the C drive or the T drive or whatever. I had the T drive chosen. And so I can drag something over.
Not letting you drag.
We just got hired, so
Okay, everybody that enrolled, I think they sent you one in the last day or two. So look, because I've sent in the names of everybody that showed up on my roster.
It's not getting better here.
What's your name?
It's getting better reviews, more people at night.
I think I sent you one.
Yeah.
I may not have, in which case you can go to the help desk after this class and ask. Okay, so now I have my file over here, and it is first 2015. Okay, so I'm going to roll it up a little bit more so I can see it easier. Okay, so now I've got it up on the server. Now I need to tell it how I can see it from a browser. So I'm going into Firefox, and I'm going to reduce the size so that I can see both of these together. In Firefox, I am going to type cisweb.bristolcc.edu, and I will copy that and put it in Notepad so you can read it a little bit better. But I'm typing that same host that I typed when I went and did it, which is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Okay? Let me go find Notepad. Okay, so I'm typing in cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Then I type a slash, and I type a tilde, and a tilde is that curly thing that is right under the escape. I type a slash, and I type a tilde. Then I type my username, which is pgrocer. I don't have a number on mine. And I have first... 2015.html, which is the name of the file. So basically, I have my host slash me slash the name of my file. Okay? And yours is going to have an 11 on it. But it's hostcisweb.bristolcc.edu. /tilled my name. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to put that into the browser. So I've got cisweb.bristolcc.edu. And I've typed that into the browser, and it tells me not found because I can't spell first. I put two S's in it. Okay, so there it is. So there is my page. So I went to cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Killed my username.
You got it.
So that gets you to your area on our server. Okay? The tilde your username gets you to your area on our server. And then I put in the name of the file, which is first2015.html. And you're going to put in whatever the name of your file is. Okay, so you're putting in your file name. So I've got host/who you are, which is tilde in your username, / the name of the file. It, has everybody found themselves? Yeah. Go ahead.
If you made a folder inside your area.
Yeah, I'm going to do there next. Okay. I'm going there next. But I wanted to get the basics out of the way first. Okay. Questions?
HTML.
Yeah.
It looks like all of us are at different
pages. Two L's on
the HTML. You should all be. You should all be on your page.
That you created.
That you created. Whatever you dragged over there.
Oh.
You should be seeing your page that you created.
Did you guys see it?
Nope. I don't have a file.
Whatever you dragged over.
Can't really test it. Do a file.
Has everybody got something up?
You can put your own up. Yeah, even though it's not like the way you want right now.
You could just go to the cost base and give any person a sign.
That's right.
Looks like I'm using
yours. Okay, your area is your username. I've got P. Grosser there because I want to go to my area. But you're going to put your username to go to your area. And you're going to have the number on it because you were assigned a number. I predate the number. So I don't have a number on mine. Okay? Marshall, you said you're not getting it? Okay. Carolyn?
Oh, never mind. I got it.
You got it? Okay.
I can spell it.
Just remember, I'm not getting that file.
Okay, so everybody's got something now?
Yeah, I need to go through your page.
Okay, if I'm...
So,
are
you typing in
the name of that file?
Yep. Is it your username?
With a tilde in front.
/, or the name of that file.
Is your number?
/. The name of the file itself.
So if you're looking at,
that's what it is.
But you had to drag the file over first, right?
/, and then the name of the file is the entire thing, including the HTML part.
In the exact caps, space, everything.
Oh, that's why.
Okay. You have embedded spaces in the name.
Yeah, no have spaces
from out here.
Yeah. Okay. I would go in and rename that and get rid of the spaces.
Yeah.
That's why I think I'd get my word first. That space.
Okay, now come over here and we'll refresh on this. Ta-da. Okay. Good point.
You get a special card.
Microsoft did the worst thing I can imagine at one point, and that is they said it was all right to have embedded spaces in the name. Forget that. Okay, most of the world does not want embedded spaces in the name. Okay, so just get rid of embedded spaces in the name. Go in and rename your file if it has embedded spaces.
About space.
Yes, you can work around it. Yes, you can do all those things. But the best way is to kill the header.
Just so it has.
So just don't name anything with embedded spaces in it. Change the name to have capitals everywhere if you want it for new words. Or so, you know, you type the first word and then you capitalize the first letter of the next word or something like that. But embedded spaces are going to cause you problems in a whole lot of languages. And so it's better to not figure out the workaround. It's better to just get rid of the idea of embedded spaces. A space embedded in a name, John Space Doe. That space is, right, that space is an embedded space. And there's a lot in computing that thinks of space as the end. And so when you have an embedded space, they see it as the end and they don't go on. There's a lot of workarounds, and you can usually work around, but it's easier if you just stop using them. Okay, so I'm not even going to deal with workarounds. I'm going to deal with the idea of no more embedded spaces when you name something. When you give something a name, forget embedded spaces. Usually underscores are okay. So if you want to put an underscore between words, that's okay. Okay? But different languages have different things that you can put in. But underscore is usually, I don't think I've run into anything where underscore is unacceptable. So instead of a space, use an underscore. Now, I hate underscores because I have to change cases to use underscores. And I have to use special characters. And when I learned keyboarding, I got bored before I got to special characters. And so I have to look to find an underscore. Okay, so I don't like underscores. But feel free to use underscores if you stayed with keyboarding long enough to figure out where the underscore was. Okay, so that is, we now have all got it, so you can go home, type this address in on your computer at home, and see your web page. Okay, you can now see it anywhere in the world. Okay, your web page is now up there. Okay.
My other question is, can we put everything that we would have to do HTML-wise in this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You can use this area to keep a lot of stuff in. The thing that you can't do when you're submitting homework is I do not have time to log in to places to find your homework. So if you put your HTML page up on your website, that's fine. But you can't tell me it's up on your website and have me go look for it. I don't have time. But you can send me the address. So if you copy and paste this address and send it to me so that I can click on the address and get to it, that's fine. I just don't want to have to log into stuff to correct homework because that increases the time that I have to spend incredibly, and I have to also get the passwords right, and that usually means a couple of tries, so I can't handle that. Okay, so if you want to put your HTML out there and just send me the address, this Thursday your web page is due. It is not required that it be up on the web yet, because I'm covering that this week. This week, I'm telling you that that's going to be the next assignment, is to get it up on the web. Well, you can do it both and send me this Thursday's up on the web, and then you've checked off next week as well. Okay? So, I need to see it up on the web.
Last question, whilst we're on this topic about homework and using this, are we going to be ultimately making our own page through this and having access to all of our stuff on CIS 120, what, CIS web?
If you put it up there, you can have access to it.
I mean, do you want us to, like, create our own page, HTML page, that has that? Like, you have your vGrocer?
No.
No.
No, no. If you want to, that's fine. But again, keep it so I only have to click a couple of times.
Yeah, no.
But you're welcome to do it. Okay, now we're going to look at making a folder.
Before you go on,
oh, okay.
A few people that it's not finding their file, and I don't know why.
Okay.
No embedded spaces?
No.
When they save it? Okay, so if I want to create a folder, okay, I can create a folder. So I say files, new, directory. So files, new, directory. So I've created a directory, and I'm going to call it my stuff. Okay? So I'm now making a folder called my stuff. And I just made it the wrong place. Okay. I wasn't looking. When you create the folder, you need to make sure that the server side is highlighted. Not the, see the highlight up there at the top? I was had the computer side highlighted. So I need to come over here and highlight the server side because I want to create it on the server side. So when I say file new directory, now it's going to create it on the server side. So I will call this CIS 122, 120, fall 2015. Okay, so I'm making a folder, and you can make the folder anything you want to. And then I am saying okay, and it is now creating the folder. So I can now go into that folder, and the folder has nothing in it. So I can then drag something over to that. So I'll drag the same thing over that I dragged before, which is first, and I dragged it over. So now it is in the folder. So that means that I need to, in the address, include the folder. So I call this CIS 120F 2015. So I have to include the folder because I have to say, go to my area, then go to the folder, then go to the file that's inside the folder. So I have to include the folder in the address. Okay, why does that keep blinking out when I tell it to take a picture? Anyway, so now if I come back over here and I put in the folder and say CIS 120F2015/, it has found the page again. Okay, it's got the same thing. But if I use a folder, then I have to say, go to the site and use the folder, and then inside the folder you will find the file. And it's up to you whether you want to use folders. We're not putting as much stuff in this site that you really have to have folders, but it's nice to get in the habit. So I've now got folders that have an in. Now notice up here at the top, it uses home and it uses public HTML. I told you you had to be in public HTML. You don't put those in the address. The tilde takes care of that. The tilde tells it that it's supposed to go to your area, and it knows it's supposed to use public HTML in your area. So you don't use the word home, and you don't use the word public underscore HTML in your address. The tilde takes care of directing it to your area. Okay. So now you can put your stuff up on the web and have a true website that is available worldwide.
Woo. My 2 weeks.
Questions? Okay, we're done with HTML. Moving right along. That's what you're going to find that this course is. This course is a smattering of this, a smattering of that, a smattering of everything that we need to lay a foundation in. We will actually come back to HTML at the end of the semester, when I will ask you to put up a portfolio. And you're going to have to make a the beginning of a portfolio that we ask you to work on while you're here and finish up in your capstone course so that you have something that shows your work. But right now it would be foolish to make a portfolio since you have
Just learned rudimentary.
That's right. So, we will come back to it, but for now we're done with it. We're moving on to something else. And then in a couple of weeks we'll move on to something else and we will keep going at a fairly fast pace, laying foundations. That's what this course does. There is a follow-up course on HTML. In fact, there's a series of follow-up courses on HTML that you can take if you get into that. But for now, we're moving on. And what we're going to look at is databases. So, I put up on the website the fact that you could download Access, and I put up that there are actually two ways that you can download it. With Office 365 or with GreenSpark. And so you can go and download Access 2013. There's probably an icon for it around here someplace. Anybody find it?
I just searched in the Windows search
bar. No, maybe they don't have an icon for it. I thought they did. Okay, I just go in, there's Access 2013 here. But if you go to All Programs, and you go into Microsoft Office 2013, there's Access 2013. So you can go into Access 2013. I'll go into Microsoft Office and get to Access 2013. I don't know if you have Access 2013 that comes up for
Access
you or not. But you are looking for Access 2013. And you're going to click on that, and it is going to open. Under Microsoft Office is the sure place to find it. It's Microsoft Office 2013. And again, if you want to use, we're only going to do Access for a couple of weeks. If you want to have it at home, we've given you two ways you can get it at home. Otherwise, you can do it here, either way. Okay. So, I am going to make a blank desktop database. Again, if you lose it and you don't know where you are, put up your hand and Carolyn will come around and help you. Okay, so I want to have a blank desktop database. And there it comes up with this. Now I get to decide where I want to put my database and I should decide now. Okay, it's a lot easier to make the decision up front about where it's going to be stored than it is to, whoops, I meant to store it. So, I am going to say that I want it to be called Fall 2015. Okay? And then, if I want it on something, right now the default is the T, I'm going to click, and I'm actually going to put it on my F drive so that I have it on my flash drive. But you can keep it on the T drive, or to put it on the thought space. But the thought space only works for the computer you're sitting at. Okay, so I would recommend having a flash drive and putting it on your flash drive, which is what I just did. Okay, I'm putting it on my flash drive. So I said okay, and it now comes back and says that it's going into the root of my flash drive. Okay, so I've called it Fall 2015, and I have said that it's going into my F drive. And now I can click on Create. Okay. And this is what you should see after you click on Create. And again, I'm going to make it a little smaller because we've got to get them to fix the layout here.
Slightly lower.
Slightly lower.
By like a toolbar a little bit.
Perfect. Good. That's the light up there. We got to get them to adjust that. And I'm not tall enough. Okay. So this is what you should be seeing right now. Now, over here, I get to pick what view I want to see. And I'm going to go to design view. Okay, so over here, this icon right here, I get to pick what view I want, and I'm going to design view. And I'm going to call this table stew table. So I'm writing STU. Okay, and saying stew table. So I gave it a name of stew, and it's now showing up over here and saying tables. Here is the stew table. Okay, stew for student. I'm going to make a student table. Okay, so this is a database table. This is a table where you can keep track of data. And no matter what computing job you go into, you're going to be in using databases. If you're in business, you're obviously using a database to keep track of inventory, to keep track of payroll. If you're in gaming, you're keeping it to keep track of scores. You're using it to keep track of where you are in the game, all of those kinds of things. If you're in politics, you're using it, or charity work, you're using it to keep people that you want to get money out of. So essentially, no matter what you're doing in computing, you're going to have to keep data. And the main way of keeping data is in a database. Now, Access is a very basic database. Big companies or companies that do a lot of business will use a database like MySQL or a database like SQL Server or Oracle or something like that. But Access is an easy one to learn, and the principles are pretty much the same, so it's a good way to start. Later on, people can take courses in Oracle, courses in MySQL, and get into SQL Server in other courses that we teach. But this kind of lays the foundation. Okay. Now, Microsoft, being Microsoft, has decided that your first field should be called ID, and it should be an auto number. Me being me doesn't want my first field to be named ID and doesn't want it to be an auto number. An auto number means that the numbers are going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so the person's ID is going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that's not a practical way for most people to assign IDs. About the only thing you assign an ID on that is on something like an invoice. So I'm going to call it IDNO, just to be difficult. And under data type, I am going to switch and call it short text. Or I could switch and call it a number. Okay, I can do anything. Text is a text field. Number is a numeric field. I don't know whether I want to make my IDs a number or a text, so I'll make them text. So I called it short text. So I have ID number, and then I wrote short text. Now, when you are doing here is I am telling basically access what data I want to keep. And the first thing I'm telling it is I want to keep an ID number. Once I told it what I want to keep, it wants to know what type of data I'm planning to store there. And so I'm telling it text data. Then if you look down at the bottom of the screen, it says, okay, what did I just do? I just made that go all the way down for some reason. If I look down here at the bottom of the screen, it says 255 characters. Okay, well, my ID number is not going to be 255 characters. Okay? Even the most secure person is not going to have an ID of 255 characters. So I'm going to change that and make it, let's say, 5. And say that my ID is going to be 5 characters. Okay? So right now what I'm doing is I'm laying out the table. And I'm saying each record on the table is going to have the first 5 characters contain an ID number. Okay, so the first 5 characters for each record in the table is going to be an ID number. Okay, then I come down and I say, okay, the next thing I want is student name. So I'm going to call it STU name. And I'm going to, and you can call these anything you want. I'm going to call it short text, and I'm going to make it 30. Because 30 seems enough characters for a student's name. If I don't think that's enough characters, make it 40 or make it 50 or however many characters you want to make it. Okay, I'm not typing more than 30 in my examples. Okay, then I decided I wanted to have a major. So I'm going to write major. And again, I'm going to pick short text. And the major is a 2-character code, so I'm making that 2. Okay, so I've got a 2-character code there. Then I'm going to put in number of credits. So I'm going to call it num credits. Notice I'm not putting any embedded spaces in. If I wanted to, I could have made the C here a capital, which would make it clearer that it was 2 different words. So I could have said num capital C credits. And that would have made it clearer that it was 2 words. Okay, that's going to be a number. So I'm picking number for that. And then I'm going to come down here, and I'm going to say short integer or single, either one, integer, just plain integer. I'm making it just plain integer. A long integer is far more, it's a far bigger number. That'll let you get into the trillions. We're not going to be having the number of credits go that high. So I just made it a number. And then a number and an integer. Because you can't take a half a course. Then I'm going to put in GPA. And that's also going to be a number. But in this case, it's a decimal number, so I'm making it single. Okay, so I've got a number and I've got single. Okay. And again, I'm going to put this up on the web, so if you have problems with something, you can see it up on the web. But what I'm basically doing is they're going to let me write for some reason now. It's decided I can write.
Short text, two. Paragraph 2, 5, field size 2.
Okay. First, I've got my ID number. Then I've got my stew name. Then I've got my major. And I made it a little bit too long here. Then I've got my number of credits. And then I've got my GPA. This is a record that I have just created. I've created the layout for a record, or it can also be called a row. So I've made the layout for my record, which is also called a row. Okay? I tend to call them records, but either word works. This is a layout in this table, and the table is a file. Okay. I will have lots of records on here, and so I end up with this being a column or a field. I can call the ID number a field, or since I'm going to have lots of IDs numbers underneath each other, I can call it a column of ID numbers. And then I'll have a column of names and a column of majors and a column of GPAs, etc. So those are the vocabulary words that I can use to describe this. And this is the layout of my table. Okay, so that's what my table is going to look like. Questions? Yeah.
Where are you?
Yeah, go over here and pick. Go over there and pick design view. And that gives you the impact, okay? Okay, now what I want to do is put data in here. I've created the table, I've got the structure of the table, and a table, again, is part of a database. Okay, I've got a database here. Access makes a database. We're only putting one table in the database for now. Later on, we'll put multiple tables, but for now, we're just putting one table in the database. But a database can have a lot of tables. So, for example, if I have a payroll database, I might have a table of my employees, and I might have a table of all of the payments that I have made to my employees. And so I might have two separate tables. Okay, they would be both in my payroll database. So a database is a collection of data. Okay, now, the first field here uniquely identifies. This is called the primary key. And the primary key uniquely identifies each record. Okay, so you have a student ID number, and that's what I was each record. You have a student ID number that uniquely identifies you. My ID number here also uniquely identifies each record. So it's called the primary key. Okay, if you look at this, you can see that Access assumed I was going to make the first field the primary key, and they have a little key there. Okay? If I don't want it there, I can go up and delete it, and I can make a primary key by clicking on the primary key button up there. Okay? But Access made the primary key the first field, which is their subtle hint to say that the first field should be the primary key. Okay? So it's in that first field. If it's not there for some reason, then you want to highlight it and click on primary key to get it there. But it should be there. Okay? So, questions? Okay? Then the next thing we're going to do is go and put data in here. So we're going to click on view. And it says you must save the table first. So I'm saving the table. And now I've got a place where I can enter my data. Okay, so I sit here and I'm going to start entering my data. So my first person is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then I hit tab and Susan Ash. Tab CI major. Number of credits, 45. GPA, 3.7. And then I go down to the next record. And you can put anything in that you want to. 1, 1, 1, 1, 2. John Costa, CI major. Number of credits, 33. GPA, 3.6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Linda French, BU major, number of credits, 23, GPA, 2.7. Okay, so I can go in, and each one of these is a record or a row. Each one of these is a record or a row that I create. And looking at this, you can see that the fields really do make columns. I now have columns there. Okay, so I have records and rows that are made up of fields and columns. Okay, so I'll put in a few more. Bunch of records here that I've created. Decimal integer means a whole number. So my type is an integer if I want a whole number, and single if I want a decimal. Double also makes a decimal, but again, we're then talking about the national budget as opposed to a GPA, because it makes a much bigger number.
So
in
case the name doesn't fit?
If the what?
If the name does not fit.
Make it a smaller name. Or else go back and modify the structure and make the structure have a bigger number in it.
What's their major?
Okay. I picked 30 characters. If I want a name bigger than 30 characters, I have two choices. I can abbreviate the first name or something, or I can go back and change the structure and say I want names to be 35 characters. Okay? Or 40 characters, or whatever it is that's going to make enough characters. So basically now what we've done is we've created a table within a database. Okay? And we have populated that table with data. Okay? And that's the word that is frequently used. I've populated the table. I put data in it. I've populated it. So, questions?
Except for the decimal, a single in, right?
Right.
What if it's not doing that?
You pick number and then single. At the top, you have to pick number, and then single down below, and then it should make a decimal.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I am going to show you, if I go back here, I have this icon right here underneath the word file. And if I click that icon, I go back and forth between the structure and the data. So if I want to go back and forth between the structure and the data, I just click this icon right here underneath file. And it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So I can move back and forth between the two. Okay, so there it is. Okay, so now I have got my data created, and I can close my table by clicking the little X over at the side, like you close other things. I click the little X, and I close it. Okay. You found it?
Yeah, it's a link
stage. They usually are.
I put that X now totally out of it.
Well, not totally out. Which X did you click?
The little X that you said to click.
You want to click this X right here.
I'm totally out of it now.
Did you click the X up there? Okay, you want to click the X on the line that has the field names, or the line above it that says Stu. Okay, I'm now out. So now what I'm going to do is create a query. Because one of the main reasons that we have a database and data is so people can ask questions about that data. So they can say, I want a list of everybody with a GPA higher than 3.0. I want a list of everybody with a major of CI. I want a list of, okay guys, I want a list of everybody that meets certain criteria. So I can go in here and I can say create. So I'm clicking on the word create. And then I want to click query design. So you're going to click on create and then you're clicking on query design. Create query design. Now, once you click on Create Query Design, it comes up and it says, what table do you want to query? Well, I only have one table and it's called Stu, so I want to use that table. So I click on the Add to use that table. Okay. So I'm clicking on the Add and then I close. And it has put the table up here. And it has shown me the different fields that I have on the table. You all set? You back?
Well, we lost what you were doing. We got her back to her file. But
create query design. Okay? If you want to do it, it's create and then query design. Okay, so now I've got the fields, and I'm going to create another query in a minute. I can bring down the fields that I want to see in the quarry, and I'm going to move this up a little so it's more visible. So I'm going to say, and by the way, this little keyboard that shows up is part of SmartBoard, it's not part of Access Ignore. Okay, it has nothing to do with nothing, but it likes to be there. Okay, so I'm going to click on, I want to see the ID number, and notice it comes down. Then I can drag it down also if I want to. So there I dragged it down. I can also click on the button beside and select something from, just click on the field and I get a button and I can select major there. Okay. Then let's say I don't want number of credits, I just want GPA. So I don't have to have all of my fields. I could have done them in a different order. I could have put the name first and the ID second, or whatever order I want them in. I'm determining the order. It doesn't care what order I have.
We have to go back because I'm not sure how to do this. When you go under query and you've got your query, how do you get your table under there?
Query design.
We went to query design.
No, just create query design, and then you're creating a query. Okay, let me go back, and I will bring it up in a minute, because other people probably are lost too. So now I've said what I want to see. I've said I want to see ID number, STU name, major, and GPA. And they're all from the STU table, yeah.
If you put one in that you don't want, how do you remove it?
Just delete it, I think. Yeah, you're right. Cut. I was looking for the word delete, but cut's there. Now if I want to see the results, I just click on view. And it shows me the results. So now I can see the ID number, the name, the major, and the GPA. So now I'm going to say, okay, I'm done with this query, and I'm clicking on the X. Do you want to save the changes? Yes. I'm going to call it basic. And say, okay. And I have now saved a basic query. So I'm saving basic. Okay. Now, if I want to create another query, okay, Kim, you click on Create Query Design. And when you click on Create Query Design, it brings up this screen. Create Query Design brings up this screen. I now have to say I want to add this table, so I click on Add, and I close it. And I've now added this table. So I've now added this table. And again, let's say this time I want STU name, I want major, I want number of credits, and I want GPA, but I decided I didn't want ID number. That's fine. I can drag down whatever I want. Now I'm going to add something else. I want to see the GPA that is greater than 3. So I'm writing greater than 3 there under criteria. Okay, notice over here I've got criteria. And I'm writing greater than 3 in the intersection between GPA and criteria. So the intersection between GPA and criteria, I'm saying greater than 3, which is basically saying I want my GPA to be greater than 3. That's my criteria that I'm setting up. I only want to see students that have a GPA greater than 3. Okay? So now if I want to see the results of this, I click on view, and those are the students with a GPA greater than 3. So I'm now seeing the 3 students that had a GPA greater than 3. Those are the only ones that I'm seeing. Okay. Questions?
How do you create design?
So if I want to, I can now click on the X because I'm done with this one. Do you want to save the changes? Yes. I'm going to write GPA GR3. That tells me this is a query about people that have a GPA greater than 3. So I've now got that query over on the side. At any point, I can bring up these queries by clicking on them. And it will come up. There it is, and I can use this to go back and see the design and go back and forth. Okay, now you do one, and I want you to do one where you look for a particular major. Okay, so look for a particular major. Now, with a major, it's a character field, so you're going to have to put the CI in quotes. If you don't do it, Microsoft will do it for you. But give it a try.
Is it double quotes or single?
It doesn't matter. So I'm going to say create query design. I'm bringing up the field, closing. And now I want you to do a query that involves a major, a certain major. GPA and the major. So I put them in a different order. And I want my GPA to have a criteria of CI. And notice when I just type CI, Microsoft fixes it for me and puts quotes around it. Okay, so this is one fix that I say thank you for. A lot of fixes I don't say thank you for. So that gives me all majors that are CI majors. And again, if I click on view up here under file, I now see just the CI majors. The EU major isn't there. Okay. So essentially what these are queries. And a query lets me look at the database and get records that meet my criteria. Okay? If you have 100,000 records out there and you only want to see people with a salary over 50,000, then you don't want to go through 100,000 records one at a time, or you want to see people with a salary over 100,000. You don't want to go through 100,000 records. You want to go through and say, show me everybody that has a salary greater than 100,000. And that's what you want to bring up. Okay? So criteria, doing a query, lets you easily look at the data and figure out what it is that you want. Okay? And if you go in, so here is my CI major. Come on. If you can't get it to come up, otherwise use design view. Notice there is a sort field up here. So if I want to sort by student name, I can say I want ascending order by student name. And that means that if I do that, I'm going to sort the results by student name in ascending order. So under student name, with the intersection of sort, I've said I want ascending order, or I could have descending order. And if I look at the view now, I see that it's Ann, David, John, Susan, so they are in ascending order. So I've now sorted them in ascending order. And I've only got the CI majors still. Okay. Questions? Okay. The next thing I want to do is I want to look for two things in an AND relationship. This so I'm saying create,
in,
huh?
This past sentence in like 3 minutes or 4 minutes.
6 minutes.
6 minutes.
I saw 14.
I'm just wondering if they don't know.
Yeah, no. Query design. So I'm saying add, close, and I'm saying I want to see ID, name, major, number of credits, GPA. And apparently I want to see GPA twice. Okay. Interestingly enough, I can cut this or I can just take that out, show out, and then it doesn't show up anymore. So I can take the show out or I can right-click on it and say cut it. Can I cut that too?
Not
avenged. Eventually goes away. Okay. So now what I'm going to do is say I want the criteria that these people are CI majors with a GPA greater than 3.5. Okay. So I put two things on the criteria. I put that I want them to be CI majors and, okay, so this is and, because they're both on the criteria line. So that means both of them have to be true. So it's CI major and criteria greater than 3.5. And so if I go into a view, I now see that there were three CI majors that had a GPA greater than 3.5.
Are you spelling out and are you using the symbol?
Say that again?
Are you using the symbol?
Greater than you're talking about?
Oh, no,
using
you're saying,
greater than symbol.
Oh, no, I meant when you were using the major, were you doing the and symbol or spelling out and?
I just wrote out the word and, but you're not. But that was me writing it out. That is not what you're going to do. You don't write it out. You put them both in the criteria line. Criteria line, if they're both in the criteria line, it implies and. Okay. So, logically speaking, if I say I want, and this is called a decision box, and I say I want it where the major equal to CI, And if the answer to that is yes, I also want the GPA greater than 3.5. And if the answer to that is yes, I want to display. If the answer to this question is no, then I don't want to display. And I draw lines and I join the yes and the no. If the answer to this is no, I don't want to display, and I join the yes and the no. So these are two things in an and relationship. And we will pick up on this on Thursday and look at a lot of other relationship things. But that is called a logic flowchart. And it lets me put in a question and ask if this question is yes or no. Those are the only two options. Yes or no. There's no maybe in the computer world. At least until you get into artificial intelligence. Yes and no are the only options.